ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, The Creative Impetus, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 3, called Rishabhdev's Appearance, text number 4 and 5. I'll just read the verse, because it's prose, so you don't have to repeat. Ritvija uchuhu arhasi muhur ahata marhanam asmakam anupanang namo nama iti etavatsat upashikshitang korati pumang prakriti guna vyattikara matir anisha ishvarasya parasya prakriti purasayor arvakta nabhir nama rupa kriti bhi rupa nirupanam Sakala jana nikaya vrijjina nirashana shivatama pravara guna kanaika desha kata nadrite. Please repeat. Ritviya uchuhu. The priest said, Arhasi, please accept. Muhu, again and again. Arhatama, O most exalted worshipable person, worshipable person. Arhanam, offering of worship. Asmakam, of us. Anupatanam, who are servants. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Namaha, respectful obeisances. Iti, thus, etavat, so far, sat, by exalted personalities, upashikshitam, instructed, kaha, what, arhati, is able to make, puman, man, prakriti, of material nature, Guna, of the modes. Vyatikara, in the transformations. Matihi, whose mind is absorbed. Anishaha, who is most incapable. Ishvarasha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parasha, beyond. Prakriti purasayaho, prakriti purasayaho, the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature. Arvaktanabihi, which do not reach up to, or which are of this material world. Namarupa akritibihi, by names, forms, and qualities. Rupa, of your nature or position. Nirupam, ascertainment, perception. Sakala, all. Jananikaya, of mankind. Vrijjina, sinful actions. Nirashana, which wipe out. Shivatama, most auspicious. Pravara, excellent. Gunagana, of the transcendental qualities. Ekadesha, one part. Katanat, by speaking. Rite, accept. Translation. the priest began to offer prayers to the Lord, saying, O most worshipable one, we are simply your servants. Although you are full in yourself, please, out of your causeless mercy, accept a little service from us, your eternal servants. We are not actually aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again, as instructed by the Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect, but you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. Your name, form, and qualities are all transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. Indeed, who can conceive of you? In the material world, we can perceive only material names and qualities. We have no other power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you, the transcendental person. The chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind. That is the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with material perception. Even the impersonalist Shankaracharya says, Narayana Parovyaktat, Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond material conception. We cannot concoct the form and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must simply accept the description given in Vedic literatures about the Lord's form and activities. As stated in Brahma Sangita 5.29, Chintamani Prakarasatmasu Kalpa Friksha Lakshavriteshu Surubir Abhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamanang Govindam Adipurusham Tangaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in the boats built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. We can have some conception of the Absolute Truth, his form and his attributes, simply by reading the descriptions given in Vedic literatures and authoritative statements given by exalted personalities like Brahma, Narada, Sukadeva Goswami, and others. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Ata Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavat Graham Indriyai. We cannot conceive the name, form, and qualities of Sri Krishna through our material senses. Because of this, other names for the Lord are Adokshaya and Aprakrita, which indicates that he is beyond any material senses. Out of his causeless mercy upon his devotees, the Lord appeared before Maharaj Nabi. Similarly, when we are engaged in the Lord's devotional service, the Lord reveals himself to us. Sevan mukhe hi jivadhau, svayam eva spuratyada. This is the only way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. There is no other way. We have to hear from the authorities and from the Shastras and consider the Supreme Lord in terms of their statements. We cannot imagine or concoct forms and attributes of the Lord. Om Agyana Timrandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistang Stapitang Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sakana Rakanatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhada Sivasadi Ghora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay. So, first of all, I'd like to give ask the blessings from all the devotees. I will try and share some realizations and try to explain maybe a little bit the purport. And yeah, like, you know, when Prabhupada used to give class, then he was giving class to his disciples. But now it's different, because we are basically, of course, Guru Padma is like my god uncle. But other than that, we are basically all god brothers and god sisters. So you either senior to me or we are on equal level. So yeah, it's important that I get some blessings from you, and I think it's like etiquette to do that. Yeah, so I'm not completely prepared for this, but I will try to say something about this verse. So yesterday, Naja Bihari, he gave a very nice class. As far as I remember, let me just recap for myself and perhaps also for you. Verse 1, Sukadeva Goswami continued to speak. Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnidra, wished to have sons, and therefore he attentively began to offer prayers and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, master and enjoyer of all sacrifices. Maharaj Nabi's wife, Meru Devi, who had not given birth to any children at that time, also worshipped Lord Vishnu along with her husband. Yeah, so this is continuing the second chapter, where and the first chapter, this is the king's son, Maharaj Nabi. He was also meditating, and he was requested, well, actually, yeah, if I remember, his father was actually, he was seduced by this heavenly damsel. And as far as I remember, Maharaj Nabi was his eldest son. He was the son of Agnidra. And he will become the father, I assume, because this chapter is called Rishabdev's appearance, of King Rishabdev. And he, as we know, is an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Or incarnation is maybe not the exact word, it's more like a appearance, or we could say avatar, because it's not that God incarnates. Sautra Maharaj explained once in Amsterdam that karna means meat or flesh, and it's a Latin word, so incarna means going into the flesh. So God doesn't do that. God doesn't touch material nature. He stays aloof. Janma karma chame divyam. His janma, his birth, and his karma is divyam, is transcendental. So that goes for Krishna. Krishna is saying that in Bhagavad Gita. So also it will that will go for King Rishabdev. So let me just read the previous verse, because actually it's quite an important verse actually for most of us, if not all of us. Because here Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, it says here, in the performance of sacrifice there are seven transcendental means to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think we all want to have the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here, of course, King Nabi is praying to give birth to progeny. Prabhupada explained to us that if you want to have children within Krishna consciousness, there is a so-called Garbhadhan Sangskar. Sangskar means something like a ritual. Sometimes the devotees also use it in a negative way, but usually it is used in a positive way. And Garbhadhan, Garbha means like womb. Like also the universe is also called like a Garbha, it's like an egg. So Garbhadhan Sangskar means to do a samskar, to get good progeny within the womb of your wife. And in this age, as far as I understand, The easy way to do is to chant 50 rounds of Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's one mantra, that times 108, and that times 50. That's basically the Garbhadan Sanskar. And both man and wife are supposed to chant that. But here we'll read a little bit about some other things that we can do to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By sacrificing valuable things or eatables. So we do that every day, generally. We sacrifice eating or bhoga. We sacrifice food prepared for Lord Krishna. By acting in terms of place. By acting in terms of time. By offering hymns. By going through the priests. By offering gifts to the priests and by observing the regulative principles. So that last point seems to me a very important point. We must observe the regulative principles. However, one cannot always obtain the Supreme Lord through this paraphernalia. Nonetheless, the Lord is affectionate to his devotee. Therefore, when Maharaj Nabi, who was a devotee, worshipped and offered prayers to the Lord with great faith and devotion and with a pure uncommonated mind, superficially performing some yajna in the line of Pravarkya, the kind Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to his affection for his devotees, appeared before King Nabi. In his unconquerable and captivating form with four hands, in this way, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in his beautiful body before his devotee. This body pleases the mind and eyes of the devotee. So, Lord Vishnu, he just appeared. And that's the verse of yesterday. Lord Vishnu appeared before King Nabi with four arms. And then we have this beautiful description, which we discussed yesterday, so I will not mention that now. It was very very nice lecture. And then it said, because this is a king, of course, he was already established, and he was praying with his wife. It was I don't know actually if he was also meditating in the forest beforehand. Maybe he did. At least his father did. But here we hear from Sukadeva Goswami. He says, the priest began to offer prayers to the Lord. So he was basically sitting there in a yajna, as far as I can understand. And the priest, they are saying this text of the day to Lord Vishnu. O most worshipable one, we are simply your servants. Although you are fooling yourself, please, out of your causeless mercy, accept a little service from us, your eternal servants. We are not actually aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again, as instructed by Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas. So they knew it was Vishnu. Still, they humbly say, we are not actually aware of your transcendental form. So this, to me, sounds very devotional-like. A devotee always thinks himself unqualified. And although they had the darshan of the Lord, they said, we're actually not aware of your transcendental form. I just explained it. Janma karma chame divyam. Evam yoveti tatvata. Krishna says you should be aware of my transcendental form and my birth and my activities. But, you know, if we have to go by the priests here, then that is not so easy. And actually we know it's not so easy. It's something that has to grow. Like Nacha Bihari yesterday was explaining that we have here Lord Krishna. He is with us in the form of Gopinath. But we have the tendency, at least if I speak for myself, to see Gopinath as a statue. And Lord Brahma is explaining Premanjana Churita Filochanena, that we have to solve our eyes with love of God. And then we can see the deity. And then we can understand that his form is actually transcendental. So he was explaining yesterday it's a transcendental process, but it's also a gradual process. And Prabhupada, as far as I understand, he mainly stressed that we should serve God. We should, and also Nacha Bihari was saying that it's not that you have to directly be a pujari, but that you somehow or other serve the deity. And I think what was his most important point was that we should, because we all doing so many services here, but that we should try to do it with the consciousness that we are doing it, in fact, for Radha and Gopinath. And then when we do that, manmana bhava mat bhakta, when we think of Gopinath and when we become his devotee, then gradually this relationship will become more solidified, and then we can more and more realize that this form is transcendental. But what these priests, they are actually giving us advice, indirect advice. They're saying, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again. So that is generally what we're doing here. Every morning we're paying our obeisances, we're chanting japa, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're chanting Guru Puja. So we are doing that. We are also, in one sense, maybe sometimes, at least if I speak for myself, I do it on the automatic pilot. But that's the idea that you know, I should realize that I'm not really fully aware of your transcendental form, Gopinath, but I can simply offer my respectful obeisance to you again and again, as instructed by the Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect. But you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. So this is explained, I think, mainly in the Nectar of Devotion, but perhaps also in the Bhagavatam, and probably also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that God is basically 100% perfect. Like there is this saying, like the king can do no wrong. It's an English saying. And Prabhupada says this goes 100% for Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna ultimately is the king. He's the king of kings. And he can do no wrong. Like he is going into the forest with young girls, but actually it's not a mistake. Na tejas dosha or na dosha tejiyam. His mistakes or so-called mistakes, they get burned up by his tejas, by his power. So he is so powerful that nothing can touch him. And of course, then you have other living entities, like for instance Narayan. And Narayan has, I think, 96 of the qualities, something like that. The point is that Lord Krishna has four special qualities that are not by Narayan, playing the flute, being exquisitely beautiful, having pastimes, and having very, very special devotees. Playing flute. I said that, no? Yeah. Anyway, we can look it up. Nectar of Devotion, homework for all of us, especially for me. So that is four qualities. And then we have, I think, Lord Vishnu. I'm not sure. But anyway, let's skip that. So Narayan. Narayan, Vishnu is basically the same. Then we have Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva also, he has more qualities, actually, than Lord Brahma. He is actually transcendental. And then we have Lord Brahma. He's a living entity. He's actually mortal. So Lord Shiva is actually immortal. There's different, of course, there's different Shivas, different expansions. But I think it's mainly speaking about Sadashiva. He has his own planet in the spiritual world, sort of like in between the spiritual world and the material world. And it's an eternal planet. And Lord Brahma, he has his planet on the top of this universe. I'm already preparing you a little bit for what's going to come, because this is the fifth chapter. And so Lord Brahma, he is a living entity, and he has something like 74%. He's able to have those qualities. I don't remember it exactly, but one of these qualities that God has is that he's infallible, and generally that doesn't go, or not only infallible, but he is all-knowing, and I don't think Lord Brahma is all-knowing. Like Lord Brahma doesn't know exactly what's going on in the spiritual world. He knows pretty much what's going on here in the material world. Like Yamaraj, he can connect to our super soul when we go there, and then he can see exactly what kind of sins we've performed. Of course, he's got a secretary, he's writing everything down, because that is another thing that will be discussed in this canto about the hellish planets. It's quite an intense book, this fifth canto. So similarly, Lord Brahma, he is very much in touch. I don't know exactly how it works, but what I do know is his body consists of intelligence, and he has four heads. So already his body exists of intelligence, so he must be already like super intelligent, and then he has four heads. So, you know, we cannot imagine. And then his body, actually, what I understand, that the higher you go, the bigger also these gods or demigods are. Their bodies, they're like huge compared to us. So we cannot really imagine how powerful and intelligent Lord Brahma is. But like I said, he's not all-knowing. So, and we know from scripture that we shouldn't think like that, of course, Brahma is making mistakes. But the fact of the matter is that he has that tendency, and we all have that tendency, but God does not have that tendency. In fact, it's, you know, as far as I understand, it's just practically impossible for him to make a mistake. You know, everything he does is completely perfect. But here, materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect. So, yeah, that is actually also explained by Madhvacharya, that we are either under Krishna or under Maya. There is no in-between. And Prabhupada also explains it. There's not that there is some in-between phase that I'm going to go gradually to Maya. It's like shadow and light. It's like that. It's like either Krishna or Maya. Of course, at least if I speak for myself, I'm doing mixed devotional service. So like that, you could say. But the idea is more or less like that. We are in the temple. We're associating with devotees, and then we're connected. And as soon as we disconnect ourselves, then the material energy will become very powerful. And that is Jayatamam prapachyante tangsate vibhajami aham. According to our surrender, that will influence our lives. So as we surrender to Krishna, that is how much we can become transcendental. That is why Prabhupada says we can become transcendental in 1 second, because any moment we can surrender to Krishna. But generally we know that it takes time for us to surrender. Like Prabhupada many times explained that Krishna came and he said, "You surrender to me." And Prabhupada said many people couldn't do it. We can't do it, he used to say. He used to lecture like that. And therefore Lord Chaitanya came and he said, "You just chant Hare Krishna." So that is the process. We chant Hare Krishna, and Ajay Bihari explained that the deity worship is an important part of the chanting, because the chanting has to be without offenses. And there are 10 offenses. And we should actually know them. Usually in temples they are recited every morning before japa. We haven't done it for a long time, so I'm a little bit rusty on that. But we should actually memorize these 10 offenses. The first offense is, of course, blaspheming the devotees of the Lord who have dedicated their lives in propagating the message of Lord Krishna. That's the first offense. And devotees are, of course, always worshipping Lord Krishna. They're worshipping the deity. So if we are not mindful of what it means to worship the deity, then devotees will become disturbed by our behavior. Like if we're, for instance, very dirty and we enter the temple room, like in Amsterdam, we many times had that drunk people would come in, and then it would disturb us because we were trying to chant our japa, and you can't have like a smelly drunk person in the temple room then. So it was disturbing us. So then we had to ask them to leave, like that. So, you know, even before you chant Hare Krishna, you need some association with devotees, and that has to be in the proper mood. So immediately you have to kind of adapt yourself and know about what is devotional service. There are actually 64 different offenses against the deity within devotional service. And so you should also avoid them, because that's what I'm trying to explain, that seva aparat, it leads to Vaishnava aparat. In other words, when you do service in an incorrect way, then a person might get on your case, as we say, and then maybe you didn't sleep enough or you didn't have enough prasadam, and then you might say, "Why you talk to me like that?" or even worse. And then you can make like an aparat, an offense. You might insult somebody, and this will practically cover over the consciousness, and it will stop your progress. So it goes that quickly. Of course, it shouldn't stop us from being enthusiastic and coming forward, because that is another important quality. In fact, it's one of the first qualities in devotional service, being enthusiastic. And I am, like I said in the beginning, I will try to share a few realizations. I was actually realizing that morning that I should become more enthusiastic. This is a very important quality, because we always, as devotees, we are taught that we should be humble. And of course we should be humble. You know, unfortunately I'm not the first to admit, but I'm willing to admit that I am very puffed up. But at the same time, we should also be enthusiastic. So it, I guess it's a fine line between being puffed up and being enthusiastic. But it's good to, you know, want to, for instance, give class or lead kirtan or want to play mridanga or I want to cook. Like Parthasarathy gave this really nice lecture about, you know, sorry Prabhu, that is not my service. You know, like when somebody asks you to do some service, you know, let's just keep it personal. Let's just stay with myself. You know, I have that tendency to say, Prabhu, I'm a little bit stressed. I can't do it. You know, it's too much for me. But, you know, every morning we're praying. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Oh, Radharani, energy of Lord Krishna. Oh, Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Source of all pleasure, please. Please, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, engage me in your service. And somebody comes, and then I forgot the prayer, you know? I forgot the prayer. So that is another form of enthusiasm. That whenever, because it's actually, like Maja Bihari was explaining also yesterday, that people came to him in the bakery and said, you're so lucky. You maybe don't realize it, but it's so nice here. Like they say, familiarity breeds contempt. So sometimes we don't realize how lucky we are to get service. You know, because once we're here, it's so easy. You know, but we know, unfortunately, there's many people who were here and they are not here now. And, you know, I could be one of them. I could be one of them. It's called Kshura Shajara, something like that. I didn't get it completely right, but it's called the razor's edge. Devotional service is like walking on a razor's edge. There's so many rules and regulations. There's Vaishnava Parat, and you have to make progress. And if you, especially Vaishnava Parat, if you make a mistake like that, you cut yourself. And then you are in trouble. Then, like I said, you get covered over. And then gradually, Krishna, this is what my realization is, will just give you the intelligence to remove yourself from his and the devotees' association. And unfortunately, actually, I've been in that situation. So I know a little bit how it works if I look at myself. I can, like I said, I will talk a little bit from my realization. I can implore you, I can request you, I can humbly beg you that some other, and I'm also talking to myself, specifically, actually, I'm talking to myself, we have to tolerate some other. Because sometimes, I explained this in a few other lectures, my understanding is that sometimes when we get puffed up, actually, because it was also discussed in the lecture, it was asked, what is God constantly doing? What is his constant work? And the answer was, his constant work is how to make the devotees humble. He's constantly making plans and thinking, how can I make this Madhu Gopal Das humble? So, and then what happens, we get more puffed up and more puffed up, and then sort of this material energy, it starts to crush us, because that's the nature. And then either we can be crushed, because if we're puffed up, then we'll get crushed. Manohar gave the example of like a puffed up football. It's in the middle of a room, and generally, I mean, we're here in Holland and Belgium, we love football. So anybody who sees a football, he will kick it. But if the ball is like, even if it's a little bit puffed up, you might still think, I give it a little kick. But if it's completely flat, you probably walk around it. So we have to become very, very humble, and then nobody will disturb us. But if we're puffed up, then this material energy will start to crush us. And then, like I said, we can either crash or blow up, like the ball, it will just explode. Or we can just inflate. We can just gradually become humble. And then, we'll, that is my experience, you come, it's like a, like when you blow up a tire, you know, the air goes in one side and it goes out the other side and it gets some other, gets blocked. This is how it works, like when you blow up a bicycle tire, it cannot get out but it can get in. So it's kind of like that, you sort of get pushed through a tiny little hole, and then on the other side, if you're humble, then suddenly there is sunshine. Like they say in Holland, there is sunshine after rain. So it's like that, we get sort of pushed by this material energy. And then if we pass the test, we just be humble. Then you see, oh, why did I, what was the problem? Actually, it's not such a big deal. But if we stay puffed up, yeah, then Maya, she will gradually, or sometimes not gradually, crush us. And then, you know, If we don't immediately start praying to Krishna, then we might find ourselves in a situation where we think, how did I get here? You see, so this humility is very important. But at the same time, like I said, this enthusiasm is also important, because, like I said, if some devotee asks you something and you say, sorry Prabhu, it's not my service, of course, in one sense you could say it's humble, because maybe it is not your service and you are very busy and you don't want to. We all have our masters, we all have our direct authorities. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave the example of this gopi, and she went to Lord Krishna to send the message of Radharani. And Krishna, he was sort of making advances to her, but she was being very chaste and she was denying Krishna's advances, and she went back to Radharani, and Radharani was in fact very pleased with her. So she was actually denying Krishna's order, kind of. She was denying Krishna's desires. This is called lila. But she was under Radharani's order, and she was following Radharani's order. This is actually, I don't know it so well, but this is the pastime of Tulsi Devi. She was dancing with Krishna without Radharani's permission, and she became a little bit angry. And as far as I know that the story goes, she kind of cursed her. So she was acting outside of Radharani's authority. So we can never act outside of our authority. You know, like Vishnumurti, he told me, it's not that you say no, you say yes to something else. But we shouldn't misuse it. And I think that was Parthasarathi's point, that we kind of misuse it. Sorry, Prabhu, it's not my service. We can say, sorry, Prabhu, I'm really busy after this and this. I can try maybe to do half of it, but then I have to do something else. We can try and make a compromise, you know, because we always have time for eating, sleeping, and, you know, talking. So we can cut there, Prabhupada says. We can cut with eating and sleeping, and then we can maybe do the extra service. So my point is that it's not really humble if somebody comes, especially an authority, and he says, Prabhu, could you do this? And then we say, no, Prabhu, I'm not qualified, or Prabhu, I it's not my service. That's when we have to become enthusiastic. Yes, Prabhu, of course, I'll try to help you. So I'm trying to sort of find that balance, and while talking, you know, we're discovering what is kind of the balance. We can discuss it maybe more in a few minutes. So let me just try to wrap it up. Okay. So they were saying, you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions, and generally we are not. Your name, form, and qualities are all transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. Indeed, who can conceive you? So this Prabhupada explains this adoksya. Krishna is generally called adoksya, beyond sense perception. In the material world, we can perceive only material names and qualities. We have no other power than to offer respectful obeisance and prayers unto you, the transcendental person. The chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind. That is the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position. So here you go. We can partially understand Krishna's supernatural position if we chant, if we pray, if we do devotional service. Ultimately, we don't really need to understand God, but that is ultimately. In the beginning, the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter, they're actually very important about material nature, about the 24 elements of material nature. We should know these things, you know. So because, you know, like, again, I will try to talk about myself. I'm a neophyte. I haven't fully realized that Krishna is God, and therefore I first have to realize how big is Krishna. Like the Muslims say, Allahu Akbar. So then you learn by learning about the 24 material elements. That you have five senses, five working senses. You have three subtle bodies. The mind, it's called the sixth sense. Then you have five elements. You have the five sense objects. You have the soul, the super soul. You have the three modes of material nature. Like that, we come to about 24, 25, 26. So these are the material elements. We should know about that. It's a prison, Durga, very difficult to get out. And a prison is very difficult to escape. And if you want to escape, you have to know how to do it. So you should know a little bit what the prison is about. you know, Krishna, he can take us, but Krishna is very, he doesn't like to disturb other living entities, you know. Even when God came, even when Krishna came, it was kind of hidden. They say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the hidden avatar. But even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, even now Lord Rishabhdev, it's kind of for intimate people, you know, insiders. It's not that Krishna came and he was saying, okay, let's do Guru Kshetra around the world. We're going to just, you know, kill everybody who is not surrendering to me and you know, we're going to really preach now. He didn't do that. He was just humbly being Partha Sarthi being his driver. And many people didn't know that Krishna was actually God. So God doesn't like to interfere so much with other people's free will. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he requested us, and Prabhupada's requesting us, to inspire people to come out of the material energy. And it's kind of a very intimate thing. It's said in Bhagavad Gita that persons who do that, they become very dear to Krishna. And they speak about this golden age. And I think it will come, but it's never that everybody will surrender. Even when Pariksit Maharaj, the grandson of Arjuna, was there, there were people, they were not surrendering at all. But he was managing it in such a way that they weren't disturbing the place. So, but the point I like to make is that it's a very subtle thing. And although maybe in the future it might become more televised and more preached and we become more famous, still it will always remain kind of an intimate thing. It will always remain kind of a one-on-one kind of thing that you talk to somebody and try to explain them about Krishna. It's a very intimate thing. And that is it is a very intimate service that we can perform for Lord Krishna to do this preaching. One by one, I see, you know, I mean, it came that, you know, you have some television program, it happened, and then suddenly so many people came. But still, these things needs the personal touch ultimately, you know, and it needs to come from us. It needs to start bubbling over. And what we need to do, we just read that we need to chant the auspicious transcendental qualities of Radha and Gopinath. If we do that, then gradually all the sins of all mankind that will be wiped away, and it will be easier for us to, first of all, to practice and to realize that Krishna is God and that his body is transcendental, and also to share that with others. I think I should stop there. Maybe there is some question or comment or something else, correction. Well, what I understand is that there is a verse, I forgot the exact Sanskrit, but it's something called something with mukha. That we have turned our face away from Krishna's face, from Krishna's beautiful lotus face. We have turned away. So Prabhupada taught us, he wrote this magazine, Back to Godhead. So Prabhupada taught us that we were already with Krishna. And somehow or other, we've turned away. And that means that you come under Maya. The idea is that there is three kinds of energy. Spiritual energy, material energy, and in-between energy, or marginal energy. Marginal means very tiny. And that's us. We are the marginal energy. And it was also yesterday explained by Naja Bihari that Maya is Krishna's Shakti. It's Krishna's energy. So it's so powerful. It's not just this universe. It's unlimited material universes. And Maya is in charge of all of them. So we can never really win. What we can do is, you see that painting, is we can surrender to Krishna, and then he will pick us up. Was that what I kind of forgot my thing? But that's what I was trying to explain, that it's a prison house, and Krishna is trying to get us out, but he doesn't want to make it a whole big operation. You see? It has to come from us. If we sort of revolutionize the whole prison, that's fine with him. But he's sort of waiting outside. And if we get our act together, he's ready to help. But it has to come from us also. He's not going to do all the work. Because some people, they are happy in the prison. Or they think they're happy. They're conditioned. This is fact. You know, I've seen this on some movies. You know, movies that speak about true stories. If people are in prisons for 30, 40 years, they can't live outside anymore. They actually hang themselves. Because they can't function anymore. So, you know, Krishna doesn't want that. So he's waiting for those people to gradually become unconditioned. Because they're now we're conditioned. So, but it's like that, we're marginal energy, very tiny, 1/10,000th of the part of a tip of a hair. So we are either under control of the spiritual energy or of the mayic energy or material energy. And in that sense, there's really no choice. Although you could say there's could be kind of mixed, because that's in one sense my state. But the point is that we are intrinsically servant. And you can see that if you study the material world, everybody is serving someone. Barack Obama is serving the American people. He's serving the Congress. He's serving perhaps his wife or his daughter or even his dog. He might even serve the people who clean the White House. Oh, now it has to be cleaned. Yes, we will leave the room. You know, everybody has to serve except for Krishna. And what does Krishna do? He's also serving. So that is our dharma. You cannot change that. If you take out spicy from pepper, it's not pepper anymore. If you take out the liquid from water, it's not water, it's ice. Like that. So the intrinsic quality of the soul is to be a servant. Now it's up to us if we want to be a servant of the material energy or of our lusty desires, or if we want to become the servant of the spiritual energy and Krishna so-called lusty desires. There's really not much other choice. You might think there is, but there isn't. Well, that's what. No, Krishna doesn't. No, but as far as I understand, I mean, Krishna's sitting in our heart. He's never really turning away. He's not turning away. Can you imagine? He's sitting in your heart. He's sitting in my heart. I mean, I don't know about you, but I did a lot of nonsense. And Krishna, he tolerates all these things. I mean, we cannot imagine how tolerant Krishna must be, how merciful he must be. No, it's us who turned away. Krishna is just waiting for us. Please come back. Yes, that is a good point. Yes. Well, I mean, you can take this in different ways, but you know, if a child is very obnoxious. You know, he's putting the house on fire or whatever. And then he says, no, but Dad, I really love you. But that's not really acceptable. It's kind of crazy, actually. You see, so, you know, you can take turning away in different ways. But of course, Rupa Goswami is also explaining, we have to serve Krishna favorably. That's what I was also trying to explain about the devotees, because that's where it starts, basically. We have to serve the devotees favorably. So that's kind of common sense, no? Well, what can I say? I guess Krishna is also a person like you and me. So, although Prabhupada explains that he is non-partial, but what I understand from non-partial is that he doesn't look at bodies. You know, this body, that body. But he's looking at devotion. That's the meaning of Yayatamam Prapatyante Tangsteva Bhajamayam. As you surrender unto him, he will reciprocate with you. So it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, but if you serve Krishna with devotion, he will get attracted. So in that sense, he's like a person. He's attracted to the yogi because he's doing nice service, but then another devotee might be doing more nice service, so then he gets attracted. So the devotees, and especially the gopis, they're always trying to get Krishna's attention, but it's a spiritual competition. Radharani is always pushing forward other devotees. So that is a very important thing that we can learn from Radharani. But at the same time, somehow or other, that's what Kanama Kamrat said, she always ends up number one. So she's very qualified. She somehow or other she attracts Krishna. Permitter, yeah, upadrista anumantacha. Yeah. Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, in that sense, you have a point. He does turn away. Yeah, in that sense, you have a point. Vishnu it's Krishna, like you said, but it's also not Krishna. It's just kind of the official Krishna, you know, Krishna in the official function. So yeah, you might have a point there. I mean, I think ultimately the point is how to attract the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. I think that's I think ultimately the conclusion, no? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Doing the most on service area.
I wanted to.